This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, gotta take credit for this, Lee. I told you a couple days ago, not you, but the audience, that the first trade deals that would get done were going to be India and the UK, and the things were going great.
Yeah.
And this is while, you know, the financial media, it's like a funeral every day. There's no other possible outcome other than loss for America. So we might as well, you know, just get on with electing Democrat president. And I was reading stuff like this, and I just keep this article on my desk. Because boy, are things different outside the borders of this country. Headline, this is just one, the Kenya Times. You will not see a headline like this in America. Maybe some in conservative media, maybe. India bows to Trump, accepts all U.S. trade conditions and tariffs. Really? That happened? Yeah. Now, they haven't signed a formal agreement. I expect India to be next, though. But yeah, they have acceded to pretty much everything we wanted, including slapping tariffs on China. Things are going really well for Trump in India. Now, why do I have to read that in the Kenya Times instead of Fox Business? Well, because they don't have really a... You know, they don't have a dog in the fight. So they're just going to tell you what's going on. India has sided with United States President Donald Trump on the trade war with Xi Jinping of China. That is like earth moving right there. Reports indicate that the Indian prime minister is ready to accept all conditions of the U.S. in a trade deal. Trump raised the tariffs on most Chinese imports 145%. We know that, citing the need to reduce trade deficit, encouraging domestic manufacturing. They say China retaliated. Okay, then this part. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi visited Trump in the White House in February 2025. After the meeting, the leaders announced they would pursue a framework for greater cooperation. Then after that, you saw within weeks something really incredible that I made a huge deal out of, which was the fact that India switched sides. Because India, I mean, 6 months ago was in BRICS trying to destroy our currency. Because they could. We're their biggest trade partner. We buy 18% of what they make. China only buys 3. But when we're like, yeah, screw us, we don't care, take down our currency, we just don't care, we sleep. They're like, okay, well, then we'll kowtow to China. We got America covered. We'll go over to BRICS and we'll help take out America's currency. That's how stupid we are. The second we're like, whoa, bud, no, you sell 18% of what you make to us. We need a little love. And they're like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah, no problem. And then we're like, hey, would you like to make Apple phones? Would you like that? And they're like, oh, we'd love that. Oh, cool. Tariff China then. No more steel dumped into India. And literally within 6 months, you're watching India going, you know what? We were partners with, who was it again? China? Yeah, don't know those guys. We're hanging out with J.D. Vance now. Isn't it great? I mean, this is what's happening. And you can't even read about it anywhere but outside the country. Anyway, same article talked about the next shoe to fall would be the UK and how great things were going in those negotiations. Again, Lee, I had to read it in the Times of Kenya. Who reads that?
Well, apparently you do, but...
I mean, I can't forecast all this is going to go great and there won't be some bad trade deal or some blow. I'm sure something will go wrong. There's too many countries and moving parts involved somewhere. And I'm sure we'll have some bad news or somebody will go out of business or something. I'm sure that. But, I mean, this is how this is being covered in the rest of the world. And so today, Shock ensues. It's really last night it broke. What? Wait, are you okay? How? Where did that come? Yeah, you know that. Days ago I told you that. If you read foreign papers, you'd know. Here are all the good news just blacked out, and including Fox News. It's like we live in some bizarre information vacuum. It's like there's not even the internet. Anyway, it's going to be interesting today, isn't it, to see what the UK agreed to.
Yeah. That's an important relationship. I mean, beyond just the economic standpoint, the defense and NATO alliances there are important with Great Britain as well. I mean, we've got plenty of bases over there. They're heavily involved in our defense industry. We purchase a lot of things from British Aerospace. So there's a lot of back and forth there.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, speaking of a lot of back and forth there, and just kind of watch what's going on here. This is, I mean, you know what this reminds me? This is so Reagan-esque. Okay, this is a headline in The Guardian, and they're not happy to have to write it. Friedrich Merz calls for U.S. to stay out of German politics. They're outraged. Yeah. Why? Listen to stay out of German politics. This is how outrageous this is. Their intel agency, using the exact same playbook they used against Trump, has come out and said the AfD party must be banned because it's pro-Russian and fascist and very scary and extremist. Yeah, the part they don't mention is it just became the number one most popular party in polling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Head of his party.
Yeah.
So they're just banning it. That's what they do now. It's called fascism. And never a good look for Germany to be doing things like that.
In fact, I think the first time they have not had a majority election there, and they've got a real problem because, as you pointed out, that other party is the most popular party in Germany. And they weren't able to get a majority of seats there in the German parliament there.
And so The Guardian writes, Germany's new chancellor issued warning after far-right AfD received strong backing from Donald Trump allies. He's very, very toasted about it. Okay, well, what are we talking about, strong backing? Well, what Germany wants and what they're trying to do via the EU and the Digital Services Act is they've already silenced AfD in their own country. They cannot post, they cannot campaign, they can't run campaign ads. I mean, you want to talk about return to Nazi Germany. I mean, there you go right there. That's crazy. And the most popular party in polling became the most popular party in polling without being able to campaign? Yes. And with their leader convicted of speech crimes. Yeah. You want to see fascism? That's fascism. So of course Trump's called it out. But you know what Germany says? They don't want Trump interfering. What does that mean? Well, they are threatening Elon Musk right now with a $6 billion fine if he continues to allow AfD to campaign and to post and to do interviews. When they threaten him with it, a lot of people don't know this, Elon Musk said, screw you, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to interview the head of your party, of AfD. And then they fired back and said, we'll put 200 censors on you. And he's like, na 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 boo boo, don't care. And he did. And that's when they threatened the $6 billion fine using the Digital Services Act, right? That's what all of this is about. So Trump has weighed in, put his thumb on the finger of the AfD, and all he's saying is, let them campaign, let them speak. They're not an extremist party. They're just like me. So this is all very complicated. This is so Reagan-esque. And I feel like, remember when Reagan would, the Reagan movie is great, by the way, if you want a kind of review of it. But for those of us, I was very young then, but I vaguely remember it, but not too good because I was a kid. Trump is now, and J.D. Vance, staring down entities very much like these Soviet leaders, but they're in Germany now. They're in France.
Yeah, they're throughout the European Union, yeah.
I mean, just look at what's going on in France. Marine Le Pen and her party, they bypass popularity polls, bypass Macron, who is the leader of France. So what happens? Bam, she gets indicted. Where have I seen this movie before? She gets indicted and they're like, she gets convicted and they're like, oh yeah, judge bans her from running for office. Same thing just happened in Romania. The guy won the election, won it.
Yeah.
But they were, kind of a pro-Trump populist conservative freedom movement party. And they said, no, we're going to take your election away. You use too many Russian talking points. So it's the Trump model. We saw it here. They try to take Trump off the ballot. It's the same playbook. But these are really frightening times outside of the borders of this country. Because let me tell you what, the world's going dark out there. And the only thing that's keeping us, I mean, if we lose an election, I hate to think where we'll be. So I laughed out loud when I saw this Friedrich Merz calls for U.S. to stay out of German politics. What he means by that is, can you go ahead and censor the U.S. Twitter accounts that are retweeting the post by the AFD party so they can't campaign because we can't beat them.
Yeah.
That's what he means.
Yeah.
But what he's hoping is that the U.S. media will pick up this misinformation that he is spewing right. and say that Trump is, you know, meddling in European
right, exactly.
politics.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any business. Well, what is meddling? Well, he's asserting the right for people like Elon Musk and everybody else on X to, you know what, if you want to retweet what AFD has to say, great. If you want to add your own commentary, great. If you want to mock the sitting German government for their fascism and their iron fists, great. I mean, what are we going to do? Put the East Wall back up at this rate? I mean, it's just... And the funny thing to me is Americans just don't get it. You know, when people are like, well, we got to maintain our NATO relationship with these people.
Well, you can maintain a NATO relationship without giving in to these, you know, censorship demands.
I agree, but you got to kick them in the rump first.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to kick them hard. Well, here's the good news. This, by the way, this has a happy ending. This morning, they backed down on AFD. The German government was like, well, you know, now that we think about it and you're threatening us with these tariffs, now that we think about it, actually, you know what? We'll go ahead and have our intelligence agencies delist them as an extremist party. By the way, they claim AFD are the fascists, yeah. Hitlerian. But they're the ones censoring AFD.
Right.
So Trump, highly effective there. And I can't help but think that that had something to do with also the tariff negotiations. So... And all this is all being so blacked out by the mainstream media. Half of America has no idea any of it's going on. That's crazy. I mean, they have no idea that in Scotland now there are kiosks where you can go to turn your family members in for speech crimes in your own home, where only you were the witness to what they said. Yeah, Europe. It doesn't have to be, but we got to win because let me tell you what, the light is going out in the world and there is nowhere to run. Well,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, today, in Erasing American History, so we don't have to talk about it anymore, New York City tears down a statue of Thomas Jefferson and erects a 12-foot statue of an overweight black woman in its place. You may be wondering, well, we know what old Tom did. We know his history. You should. What did the overweight black woman do? She's wearing what appear to be yoga pants. What did she do? Nothing. She didn't do anything. No, she said, overweight black woman. Supposed to be representative of what I don't know. All right, folks, this is the craziest story of the week so far. Or one of them. I did it earlier in the show yesterday. I said, you know what? I got to hit that again. This is just, you want to know the times. The times. Okay. You know Lady Gaga? I actually like some of her music. I've got it on my playlist. Don't tell anyone. That'll ruin my street cred. Anyway, she was trying to set the record for the biggest concert ever. She did it. Chad made it free. Did it in Rio de Janeiro on Saturday. 2.5 million people. Crazy, right? 2.5 million people, and this guy, lunatic, Satanist, pedophile, self-described pedophile, decides that he's going to blow up the concert. And he actually had managed to place bombs all over the place. He wanted to strategically bomb the concert so as to kill a child as part of his satanic ritual, which would make it, he believed, much more powerful. He was also planning to live stream the murder of the 39-year-old singer and or her fans at the concert over the weekend. Well, thank God they got him. He's crazy, right? His name's Luis Da Silva. Real piece of work. Yeah, you should see what he posted on the internet. He started a group that promoted pedophilia, misogyny. And at the time of his arrest, by the way, he was in possession of an illegal firearm. Well, thank God they got him, right? Here's the thing you should know. Where he came from. Oh, you're going to love this. Love this. His name's Luis Da Silva. And he was only in Brazil because he was deported by Trump in April. That's right. That post about the pedophilia being great and misogyny, all that, satanic rituals. Yeah, he did that while he was in America. But they got him. Sent him home. And that's what he did. There. Lady Gaga is, of course, okay. And nobody was killed, thank God. This is who is in this country, or was. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Recently deported illegal immigrant. Just walking around. Some days, folks, some days. Some days I just wake up and I'm like, how do we ever lose to these people? The kind of person Judge Boasberg would bring home, which I guess is here, except he's a Brazilian citizen. Kind of person who should be behind bars and thankfully will be. Texter writes, Terry sounds like a follower of Aleister Crowley. Another texter writes, all for their globalist agenda. If Trump had lost, I really think this would have been our last election. I think we are closer to another revolutionary war than a civil. Texter writes, Tara sounds a lot like thought police arresting people for thought crimes. Yeah, no, that's the standard now in Europe. 30 people a day in the UK are being arrested for what they post on social media. And I don't mean threats. I mean critiques of immigration policy. Texter writes, Chair, do you think Russia or China or even our CIA have been playing the long game in Germany and France in order to get to this point? Oh, heck yeah. Now, that's why the first thing Trump did was shut down USAID. They were paying 7,300 journalists, bloggers, and just, you know, posters on X to spew their trash. And the bulk of them were in Europe, European countries. Yeah, oh no, they firmly control the media there. Remember, that's what all of those subsidies were for. And that's why Trump went there first, shut it down. That's why the left screamed so loud. Texter writes, Tira, this war of words is as important as any we have fought on the ground. Freedom is in the balance. I believe that. I'm a big believer in the war on words. Very passionate about it. More powerful in many ways, I think, than wars with bullets. Or especially for preventing wars with bullets. Texter writes, these fraudulent Republicans are going to be the end of this country. Yeah, and what they are is they're Bush recruit holdovers. That's who they, I mean, they were recruited by Karl Rove. You saw him screaming over the last week. Why? He's losing. That's why he's screaming. Oh, Trump, he should, you know, bring back all of the illegals. What he doesn't tell you is that George W. Bush, who he campaigned for and was a strategist for, was raising money as part of a three-way nonprofit with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton to pay for flights for those illegals to come into this country. All while Joe Biden claimed that he wasn't flying them into the country, except that he was. And now they're mad that they can't stay. What does that mean? They're losing. That's why they're yelling. They're yelling because they're losing. Texter writes, Tara Tillis has to have Trump's endorsement. Senator Tillis up in New York. I'm sorry, North Carolina. Senator Tillis has to have Trump's endorsement to possibly get reelected. Perhaps he is holding Trump hostage on the Martin nomination. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Texter writes, Republicans are weak and spineless. Yes, they are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New Watchdog, Government Watchdog report on what actually happened on that Gaza pier. 62 people injured, one of them died. All to bring a designated terror group food. That's right. Hamas is a designated terror group. They are also, unfortunately, the elected government of Gaza. This idea, well, we'll just bring the people food. No, the people elected Hamas. Hamas is indistinguishable from the people. You can't tell them apart. You can't tell who's who. And of course, the pier was built to deliver them food. They were going to deliver over $1 billion worth of food. I'm skeptical about that, though. I mean, there's only like a million of them. Seem like a lot, but whatever. Anyway, so they construct the pier. I said, it's going to be a disaster. They construct the pier, and then they hide the injuries, or at least the extent of it. And there was a few people injured, they reported, and eventually they'd have to dial it back. Okay, what was actually going on with this? And thank God it failed. Well, the purpose wasn't just to bolster Hamas in the war effort, which we did so many ways. We would later find out USAID pumped billions into Hamas. And I was always curious, as you turn on the TV, you're like, yeah, there's Israel, and they're pounding Hamas, they're pounding Gaza, like, with, you know, missiles. But then all these other missiles are coming right back at Israel. I'm like, where's the money for that coming from? And I knew I was paying for it. I knew you were paying for it. I should figure out how they got him the money. And then later, after Biden left office and we started taking apart USAID, we found the money. Samantha Power and the 25-year-old liberal Birkenstock-wearing women with the pride flags at USAID were funding Hamas. This is what we do now. We fund our enemies and our friends. It's weird, but hey, we're America. So anyway, that's what was going on. But I warned at the time that the real purpose of this pier was for voter recruitment. Yet what you are going to see is them backing big ships up to the pier and loading Hamas onto it. And again, there is no way to distinguish Hamas terrorists from regular people, from the voters who sympathize with Hamas and would like to terrorize our college campuses. There's no way to you cannot distinguish them. It was a voter retrieval operation. The food was the excuse. They were going to load them onto the ship. Trust me, that's where they were going. How did I know that? Because everybody knew that. This is Labour Party socialist and UK Parliament member George Galloway, who was actually opposed to it. He wanted to leave the Gazans and Hamas where they were because he said to remove people is genocide, even if you're just bringing them to America to vote Democrat. Here he is criticizing Biden for building the pier because he knew darn well what it was for.
Mr. Netanyahu announced that this port that's being built in Gaza, with the rubble of the homes destroyed in the bombing, including the skulls and the bones of the people destroyed with the houses and lying unburied under the rubble.
Oh, please. They evacuated.
According to Netanyahu, this port is being built for the deportation of millions of Palestinians from the territory, an act of ethnic cleansing of the foulest kind. We would have expected a statement from the foreign secretary.
Nah, it was a voter drive. By the way, just so you know, the Israeli soldiers risked their lives clearing those people out before they bombed it, but they never tell you that part. Anyway, yeah, so he knew. He was mad about it. So what was it? It was Netanyahu going, well, we're clearing him out. You want him? And then, yeah, and then Biden going, yeah, sure, we'll take him. Well, here you're going to have to build a port to get him out of there, right? Put members of our military at risk, including one who ultimately died, to try to do that. Really sad for them. Biden didn't care. If Biden even knew, I mean, the Democrats are doing this. Anyway, fantastic that it fell apart because folks, they found a new way. You want to know what the new way was? Visas. They brought him in on visas. College campuses, which is what Trump's fighting right now. By the way, did you see what happened at Columbia? Oh, this is fantastic. It's kind of brilliant, too, of the cops, who I'm sure will get in trouble. So they went and violently took over the library, injuring two law enforcement officers in the process. There were so many of them. By the way, some of them on student visas. There were so many of them, they couldn't arrest them all. So you know what they did? As soon as they occupied the building illegally, right? That's breaking and entering. It's a felony if you're not a Democrat or a member in good standing of a terror group on a liberal campus. You know what they did? They locked him in. They're like, okay, you want to occupy the building? Here, lock the door. And to get out, they had to hand over IDs so the cops would know who they were. They were so outraged. Wait a minute, no! Antifa told me that I was... Well, folks, why are they doing this on college campuses? Well, it's two reasons. And Rubio's right to be all over this. Did you see what he tweeted about taking their... You know, they've taken over 2,000 visas so far, and they're just getting started. You know why they're doing this? The universities are offering visas to students affiliated with terror groups or terror movements like Hamas, which is a designated terror group. And then what happens? They come in on the visa. No one checks. They approve it, right? Because almost all the immigration paperwork is filled out by the school and they send it to the federal government, gets rubber stamped. And they're in. They don't even have to sneak over the border. Why do this? To get Hamas a beachhead here in America on our college campuses because they're liberal and tolerant. It is only a matter of time before the bombing begins. And that's why the Trump administration is going through like they are and cutting off the Hamas pipeline. Rubio, Secretary of State, writes, we are reviewing the visa status of the trespassers and vandals who took over Columbia University's library. Pro-Hamas thugs are no longer welcome in our great nation. No, I mean, yeah, how many other countries in the world? Let's say I would take kids from somewhere else. Kids who don't need remedial math. Kids who are here to learn and prosper, not recruit for terror groups. And then, folks, they got to break the back of this. I mean, look, again, as I said yesterday, in Seattle, they are marching together. It's terrifying. Hamas and Antifa in Black Bloc with riot shields and billy clubs driving the police off. You cannot let that grassroots merger happen in the Democrat Party. You can't. You got to stop it. That's what they're doing. They are dangerous. They're shock troops. It's exactly what they are. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, shall we? 800-905-0989. How can text rates, we need a law to prevent people from brainwashing our youth with lies. Yes, it's called the First Amendment. It was great. Somebody thought of it a long time ago, and it works so well. All you need is a source that's not censored by the media and that is very popular, called X. And you will produce the most conservative generation of young men recorded by Gallup in our lifetimes. So yeah, we have that. We just have to use it and keep people from violating that law. Texter writes, I am more ashamed of my votes for both Bushes than I am of my votes for Rhinos, Romney, and McCain even. I feel duped. Thank God that President Trump has revealed these liars for who they are. Look, folks, we had total control media at the time. We didn't know. Breitbart, I think, had like 10,000 followers. There was no real conservative media except for National Review, and they were kind of squishy. Nobody knew who they were. Texter writes, Tara, call Tillis and keep calling his office until he sides with us. Texter writes, hey, Tara, how can you blame NC for Senator Tom Tillis? Were there any legitimate elections in 2020? I don't know. Now, the texter writes, Tillis has been coerced into siding with President Trump in the past. With enough pressure, perhaps he can be again. Hope so. I'm really hoping Lara Trump's going to run in North Carolina. That's where she's from. She definitely win that primary. I mean, she would trounce Tillis at this point. The problem they got, though, is they can't just announce that because Tillis will go rogue for the rest of the Trump administration. It's stuff so tight. He may not get his agenda through. I mean, it's a mess. Folks, you know why all this is ultimately happening, if you want to know? And I would point you back to mass fraud by the Census Bureau. What they did when they were redrawing the maps, as the Constitution requires, they have to go out and do a census. They, over 200 people, they claim, committed fraud, oopsie. They told nobody because it resulted in anywhere between 7 and 10 additional congressional seats for Democrats. I'm sorry, 7 and 15 additional congressional seats from Democrats. They waited until those primaries were held. Then they came out in the summer and said, after everybody had already been, you know, elected in the primary, oh, you know what? Guess what? Yeah, there's a lot of Democrat areas that seem to have congressional seats that shouldn't. Oh, and those seats should have been in Republican districts by population, right? They should have, like, Florida lost some. They should have had Texas lost some, Alabama. So we should have, like, 15 more Republican congressmen, at minimum 7. In other words, it's a big swing, too. Think about it. 7 Democrats who are there, minimum, should be Republicans. That's a 14-vote swing. It's enough to give us the cushion we need to put the Trump agenda through. But the census committed fraud. Over 200 people, and they said, oh, yeah, they filled out fraudulent forms. Darn. We let them go. We fired them. Anybody going to prosecute them? No, because everyone gets away with everything. Okay, then the second bizarre part. GOP should have sued. We should have done another census. Redrawn the districts right back. Democrats would have sued. They would have been in the streets screaming, but we didn't. All this happened on Kevin McCarthy's watch. He never said a thing about it. It was a massive scandal. So if you're wondering why Mike the Knife is so pathetic, why we can't get anything done, why Trump has to do everything executively, if you just even look at the, forget Tillis for a minute, if you just even look at the House, it's because we don't have the majority we should have won. This is why the majority in Congress does not reflect the large numbers that elected Trump, because of fraud. And so to me, this was another thing, and I blame Trump in part for this. I mean, he had almost $300 million in his fund for election integrity that he raised after that election. He could have used that for lawsuits too, but he didn't. Nobody sued. And remember, Fat Rana was in charge of the RNC at the time. And by fat, I mean, well, she was fat, but she was also fat, like cigar smoking kind of fat, backroom kind of fat. So she didn't do anything. She didn't care. And everybody just pretended like the Democrats didn't steal those seats from us. And that's why everything's so tight right now, that you can't even get Republicans to act to rein in the judges. And, you know, when you count the number of seats that are held by Bush recruited Republicans, who are essentially, you know, they're anti-Trump, they're going to get in Trump's agenda in the way of Trump's agenda in any way to make him fail. That's what's going on right now. That's the background on it. And it's mad. But that's where we are right now. That's why things are so tight. That's why these Republicans are so spineless, because by the time you throw out the Bush votes, which are there to undermine President Trump, and you throw out the fraudulent seats we should have won but won't get back until 2031, it's a problem, and we're paying dearly for it now. And, you know, I wonder the whole time, how did Kevin McCarthy, when he was Speaker, not catch that? I mean, you've got these, every state has them. You've got these people who are obsessed with the electoral maps, and they know population numbers on the ground. They know all of it. I mean, how did nobody notice us getting our seat, you know, these seats stolen from us? I don't know, but they did. But that's what's causing everything. For this level of win, we should have a nice 15-point cushion, you know, 15-seat cushion. We don't have it. And unfortunately, a lot of them, had they been ushered in this time, would have been, you know, very pro-Trump. Well, we don't have it. And it's making everything really hard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.